No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel, here to recap tonight's 3-0 Winnipeg Jets defeat at the hands of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Jets, losers now of 4 consecutive games, 3 of those in regulation, having scored a grand total of 4 goals in that four-game losing streak. Not good enough tonight, gentlemen. Not good enough the last little while for the Winnipeg Jets. Not a lot of positives you can take from tonight's contest, the Laine Dubois-Roslovic Bowl, minus Patrick Laine, of course.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, our condolences to Patrick Laine's family on the loss of his dad. But yeah, I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois, I thought, was one of the best forwards in this game for the Jets. Not surprisingly, right? Like, we knew he was going to be motivated, you know, going back to the city that and team that drafted him. But yeah, I mean, Drew, you nailed it. Like, to me, that's the narrative, if you want to, you know, use that word for this Jets team right now. Like, just not executing, not firing on all cylinders. Like, there were chances in this game, and, you know, we can get into some of them. But, like, it just seems like they have to work just extra harder than the other team just to get one in, right? Like, it's just like kind of one of those cliches, the bounces just aren't going their ways. And I thought in this game specifically, and, you know, our buddy Scotty Billick of the Winnipeg Sun pointed this out now, since November 6th, the Jets are 1-for-21 on the power play. And, you know, the penalty kill has really been the focus here, you know, in Winnipeg. And, you know, Jets fans are obviously concerned about that, but the power play guys, to me, is just as concerning right now. Like, yeah, you're missing Paul Stastny, but you've still got everybody else out there. You can't blame, you know, Stastny. He's not exactly, you know, the most dangerous player out there. So, you know, Nick Ehlers, you know, I thought he still had a strong game. You know, Kyle Connor, obviously, we'll get into the, you know, the goal by Hoffman. Obviously, that back check was atrocious. But, you know, Connor, you know, his offense is dried up a little bit. I mean, the offense in general has dried up. So, look, Merzlikins was really good. Like, we know he's a good goalie. It's not like, you know, this is his first rodeo. He's been a good goalie for a while now, essentially since he took over from Sergei Bobrovsky, right, Dave? But yeah, I mean, look, this game was a 1-goal game in the third period. It was back and forth. Both teams had chances. I don't think you would say that, you know, the Jets were goalied or it was a poor performance, but at the end of the day, like,
it was a poor performance. I would say it was a poor performance. They weren't goalied. I would say it was a poor performance. Yeah, they got some shots on Merzlikins, and yeah, he had to make some saves. But this, you know, for a team that is struggling to score, for a team that is bereft of offense over the last number of games, I saw way too much. I didn't see any simplicity in their game, and their game demanded simplicity tonight, Dave, and demanded that they be able to do the little things and do the dirty things, because when you can't score, when you're having trouble scoring, expecting to be able to do so with some Harlem Globetrotters, tic-tac-toe fancy passing is not realistic. This Jets team, as I tweeted tonight, was playing hero hockey for a lot of the game, I thought.
What does that mean?
It means that they were trying to go 1-on-5. They were trying to do things... Okay. That they weren't playing as a team. They were playing as a bunch of individuals in certainly the later stages of tonight's game.
I've never heard that before, Drew. Maybe you should, you know, trademark that.
Trademark hero hockey. Well, hero ball is a basketball reference. So I sort of, piggybacked on that and used it for hockey. But, tonight, this was just a Winnipeg Jets team. You could sense their frustration building and increasing as the game went on. And once they didn't get the first goal of the game, Dave, this was a team that was really just, you can see how tight they are. And as a result, the Columbus Blue Jackets were able to take advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I have to tell you guys, I was watching that game and thinking to myself, their passing was atrocious. And I know I tweeted that and people were like, it's not just tonight's game. And I agree, it has been for the last few games. And it's like they're all a step off. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was watching And it all the speed that the Jets are supposed to be playing with is derailed by the fact that the puck is in their feet. Mm-hmm. It's not at the stick. It's not leading them. And so they're reaching backwards. They're stopping all the momentum. And I mean, honestly, if that didn't happen at least a dozen times in the game, probably more, but at least a dozen clear times when I was watching this game thinking to myself, what is going on with these guys? This is ridiculous. Like, you're in the NHL. Like, that's what I expect from the AHL, is that chaos. That's what you see in a lot of, you know, games, because you have a wide variety of ability in the AHL, from, you know, guys who could just be in the NHL, who are guys who are coming up from the ECHL. In the NHL, you're supposed to have a fairly consistent product, and generally you're supposed to just be able to capitalize when a team makes what we call a rare error. But one of the things with this Jets team that I'm seeing, at least, is just as, you know, I agree with you in terms of the lack of simplicity. I thought they were trying to be Harlem Globetrotter is a good word, because they were trying to be a little too fancy with the passes rather than just getting something greasy, getting something, you know, on net. The best chance they might've had was when Merzlikins played the puck in the third period, hit Dubois, and it almost went in the net. So the simplicity might've come from Columbus, not from their own play. But I thought really one of the things that really killed this team's momentum for sure in the first two periods was just that lack of ability to make a crisp pass on the tape, lead the guy, give the, like, guys like Ehlers and Connor and Shifley and even Dubois, let them get going. Let them use some speed. They didn't have any of that. And as a result, you know, the neutral zone, and someone pointed it out, the neutral zone was clogged up. It's not like an Edmonton team, which is playing it a little bit looser than that. And, you know, Columbus is fairly good defensively. And again, one of the things I pointed out is you're not exactly playing against a pushover. You weren't going in there saying this is an easy game against a weak Columbus team. They're 6-3-0 at Nationwide Arena, now 7-3-0. And they were coming into the game 2 points back of the Jets, having played two less games. Well, now they're tied with the Jets in terms of points, having played two fewer games. So again, not exactly. I think it's important to point out you weren't playing a weak team, but the Jets didn't play a good game.
I don't think it mattered who the Jets were going to play tonight when that was the performance. And, you know, it's not an effort thing. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think it's, you know, well, okay. I mean, there were times where the effort was lacking, and we'll talk about, as you mentioned, as the back check, it's the execution right now. And it's really, I think it started to go downhill, you know, probably from the second period in Monday's game against Pittsburgh. The first period against Pittsburgh, I thought they were crisp. And, you know, and since then, the last five periods, I think are as not sharp as they've been since the start of the season. And for a team like the Jets, most teams in the league, to be perfectly honest, they build, they're dangerous when they hit the neutral zone with speed, and they're dangerous when they are attacking the offensive zone with speed. When you can't generate that speed, when the passes are in your skates, when you're not crisp coming out of your own zone, that's, you're just going to have trouble succeeding. And that's true for the Jets, that's true for the vast majority of teams. And right now, that's what the Jets are experiencing, is they're just not crisp. The game is hard for them right now, Ezzy.
Yeah, no, you know what, Drew, I think, well, you made some good points there, but right there, I think your best point was what you just said there. Like, it just seems like they're forcing things. And, you know, the chance, I thought, I was telling Dave this, you know, as we were watching the third period, like, you know, I haven't checked the, you know, his final ice time or anything like that, but you guys know, you know, I'm going to talk about Jansen Harkins, right? Like, I thought what kind of summed up the game, he was at 12 minutes and 42 seconds with only about 15 seconds of power play time. But, you know, just looking at his, you know, Corsi 4 at even strength, it wasn't one of the best on the team, but I just thought, you know, what kind of summarized this game was when Ehlers found Harkins and, you know, it just went wide, but that was one of those scoring chances that was kind of missed. You know, that just kind of summed up the game for the Jets. Like, you know, Dylan DeMello had a chance there in the second period. There was a 2-on-1. Who was that? It was a Dubois and Ehlers. I forget. I was, you know, trying to get my kids to bed. You know, Ehlers, I have to admit, I didn't watch a complete game because I was kind of, you know, sneaking into my bedroom to watch the most of the first and second period there, guys. But was it Ehlers, Drew?
Well, Ehlers had a chance. I don't know if it's the exact reference, the exact play that you're referencing, but where he was in the, you know, a prime.
It was right before DeMelo's chance. I saw DeMelo's chance, and then I just saw the replay of that. So I thought it was Ehlers and Dubois. But
I mean, you know, a shot that Ehlers probably succeeds on more often than not, where he had the top corner and he just missed it. Right. I mean, it's just, you know, emblematic, I think, of where this team is right now, is they're just, you know, opportunities that typically would go in for their exceptional goal scorers, Ehlers being one of those guys, of course, are just missing the post, or they're just wide. I mean, there was a number of chances where the puck sort of just slid past Merzlikins, and then it slid past the post, as opposed to finding some mesh. So, I mean, the truth is, in the NHL and in sports in general, the difference between success and failure is not a huge gap. It's not, I don't think it's, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater with the Winnipeg Jets. I think this is a team that's bereft of confidence. It's a team that's struggling. It's certainly a team that needs to score the first goal in any of the upcoming games, primarily Friday against the Minnesota Wild.
Well, their record is way better. Obviously, I don't have it on me, but we know that the Jets' record is much better when they score the first goal. But
I just think confidence-wise,
and you know, I think that it's more than that in a way, right? Like, because stylistically, I mean, the Jets, you know, it's not like they're changing their style here. Like, and you mentioned, you know, Edmonton and how speedy they are. Same thing with Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh, I think people forgot how fast they are. Columbus is not a fast team, like either of those two teams. So this was a much slower game. And the neutral zone, I agree with both of for what both of you guys said. Like, nothing was really, the speed wasn't generated, so they didn't have that transition game, right? Like we talked about, you know, with the Jets and Penguins, those are two good transition teams. So when you don't have that, like, that's one of those games where, yeah, you have to get something going down low, like behind the goal line. You have to get a cycle going. And, you know, we just didn't see that. Like, how many grade A second chances were there in this game, right? Like, we talked about, you know, Ehlers had a good chance, Dylan DeMelo in the second period.
They were
period.
All one and done, though. I mean,
sometimes what happens when a team is struggling is that you just think, like, okay, well, we have to get something on net here. And same thing on the power play. I thought, you know, the Jets' struggles at even strength carried over in the power play. And this isn't a team that we've seen very often just struggle with the basics. Like, you talk about keeping it simple. Like, the Jets just can't seem to really set anything up on the power play, right? And again, I believe I missed one of the power plays, but it didn't seem like
you didn't miss anything.
So, yeah, I mean, look, it's not just the penalty kill here, guys. It's not just the power play. I mean, you're struggling to score goals. Like, Connor Hellebuck's doing his job. Like, he's stopping the puck. He wasn't the issue tonight. The issue was that the Jets just don't have enough sustained pressure and they're not executing. And, you know, look at when Max Domi took that double roughing penalty, he took two roughing penalties in the third period. But when he took that, you know, second penalty, I was watching it at home and I imagine a lot of people were, you're thinking like, okay, Domi might've just let them into this. It almost kind of reminded you with when Josh Archibald did that, right? In the first round against the Jets, right? It's kind of, there was no need for that. Like, I don't know why he put the puck in the net there. And I don't know why he's taking shots at Evgeny Svechnikov. I was telling Dave, Svechnikov is not only having a very good year, he's becoming one of my personal favorites. And I think a lot of Jets fans' favorites just because of, you know, how vocal he is. You could see, I would love to hear what he was saying in the penalty box to Domi. But anyways, the point is the Jets didn't really look, not only did they not score on that ensuing power play, Drew, it wasn't really a dangerous looking power play. So you couldn't build any momentum off of that power play, even though you didn't score. Right. So I think there's a few things wrong with this team and they're going to have to figure out quickly because you're playing a very talented Minnesota team on Friday. And then you got to go into Calgary and play the number one team in the Western Conference. So it's not like guys, like you have a few softies coming up. Like this is a tough stretch right now for the Jets.
Absolutely. There's no question about it, Ezzy. Good evening to everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. Dave Manuk is in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg's in the bottom middle. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If you're new here, if you haven't already done so this evening, please smash the like button. We always appreciate that. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't done that before. That way you get alerted each and every time we go live here on the Illegal Curve post-game show or Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve hockey show. While you're at it, you can subscribe to the podcast edition of this show. That way, in case you miss an episode, it's immediately sent to your device following the end of the broadcast. You know, Dave Manuka, as he made a lot of good points, and I think everyone's sort of on the same page. This is just a team right now that is, they're in a rut. What's it going to take from your perspective to sort of get them out of this rut? You know, as he says, you know, Friday afternoon, Black Friday in Minnesota, you're going to have that game against the Wild. Then the second half of the back-to-back, you head to Calgary on Saturday night. Two very good teams, two Western Conference opponents, and games against your own conference obviously matter more than games against the Eastern Conference, just in terms of, you know, playoff positioning and things of that nature. So what's it going to take from your perspective to get these Jets out of the rut that they're in? I mean, it's hard to believe that Paul Stastny himself is the panacea that's going to solve all the problems for the Jets.
Well, I mean, Paul Stastny is the difference. Since Paul Stastny went out of the lineup November 6th against the Islanders, the two previous games that when Paul Stastny was in the lineup, the Jets power play went 3-for-6. As soon as he's left the lineup, the power play is 1-for-21. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's 100% of the responsibility of Paul Stastny, and that if they bring him back, that would be the difference in the game and the difference between winning and losing for this Jets team. But it can't hurt. It really can't hurt. And I think, you know, it's funny how, I mean, I got to tell you guys, I love sports because 8 days ago, the Jets beat the crap out of the Oilers 5-2, the number one team in the Western Conference. And everyone is planning the parade.
Where are they in the power rankings right now?
Who, the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets.
Well, is there anything more useless than those power rankings?
No. But anyways.
General power rankings.
The point is,
completely useless.
They're just lazy. It's lazy yeah. journalism. It's a lazy article that people can, you know, rather than do real journalism, I'm going to rank 32 teams and call it a day.
How did Jets let's put go it down, way, by the way, Dave? How did they go down that far in the rankings after they were playing so well? That's what I didn't get.
I feel like we already did this whole dialogue.
This week. Yeah, we did this 10 days ago already.
And more importantly, let's put it this way, guys. It's the same as doing a power rankings of what guys wear as if that's relevant. So let's just put it into perspective.
I'm just happy to be third in these power rankings.
Yeah.
With a bullet down.
Yeah. The truth, though, like I said, is the fact that it's funny because I looked at it, right? Same lineup, same configuration, roughly speaking. And yet somehow you're just not. I said maybe they need to tell the Jets are playing Draisaitl and McDavid in order to get motivated to play against, you know, maybe it's not the same thing. Kidding, of course. But the reality is there's no excuses. I'm not making excuses for these guys. They didn't have what it took to win a hockey game tonight. And they haven't been able to win a hockey game for three straight games. And, you know, one of the comments in the chat was right. You know, one game getting goalied fine, two games getting goalied fine. If you're saying 3, 4, 5 straight games, maybe you're not getting goalied. Maybe it's your effort and maybe it's what you're doing. So look, Paul Maurice talked about the need for simplicity and then his team doesn't go out and execute simple plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're trying to do fancy things, right? But I'm just saying, like, to me, that was the biggest concern is that you're a team that all you need in this to get a little bit of confidence is to get a goal, get a greasy goal. You don't need some fancy highlight reel SportsCenter top 10 moment. Just get something, you know, Tony Nato's, you know, puck drops, he turns and fires, shoots. Something like that. That's all you need to get a little bit of something going. And instead, you know, you're trying to fire it across. It was just too much. It's like I said, you remove that simplicity. And as a result, you just didn't have it going. And when your power play isn't going, your PK isn't going, and your 5-on-5 isn't going, well, we know that what that recipe equals. Just another Jets loss.
You know, and what strikes me is typically I'm not a guy who, you know, wants to see a lot of changes to lines mid-game just for the sake of things. But if there ever was a game tonight, it was evident by the halfway mark of the second period. The Jets needed, and I know that, you know, Ehlers and Wheeler switched places. But this could have been a full-fledged sort of blender game.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Maurice, I think, should have done that probably in the third period just to get something going because it was clear. I mean, I know that Wheeler gets a lot of the slings and arrows, but
55 Wheeler, deserves it. Like where was Mark Scheifele tonight?
Well, Mark Scheifele was invisible tonight. So, I mean,
can we talk more about the first goal though? And okay, Kyle Connor's just horrendous back check.
As I said on Twitter, yeah. He will not be winning a Selke Award anytime soon because his coach, and again, we love Kyle Connor because his play is generally phenomenal offensively and defensively, yeah. It's gotten a little bit better. But I mean, that coast.
I haven't seen a back check that poor since the Scheifele one from a couple weeks ago.
Well, no, but the thing is, boys, like Pierre-Luc Dubois, first off, he looked like, you know, Andre DeGrasse there. Like he gets back and he got a piece of Max Domi, right? Like, and again, like, you know, I realize, you know, Morrissey, he comes in and, you know, it's unfortunate, right? Because now, he just loses
on you.
Exactly. But I mean, that was a goal in which, you know, Nate Schmidt's back there for the 2-on-1. You got Dubois just absolutely busting his buns and he gets a piece of Domi. And then Kyle Connor's kind of just, you know, going at half speed. Like, mm-hmm. Again, I realize Kyle Connor is, you know, third or fourth in the NHL in scoring right now. He's one of the most prolific goal scorers in the entire league. But if you want to be a Stanley Cup contender, and I realize we're only in game 19 here, guys, but like, let's be honest, this isn't the first time that we've seen that kind of effort on the back check. Like I mentioned earlier, like whatever the analytics were, they weren't great for Dubois, but I thought, you know, Dubois was hustling out there. He was driving the net. Harkins is another guy that I thought had a strong game. And, you know, like you just didn't have that effort is just unacceptable. Like, and again, like, you know, who am I to criticize one of the best goal scorers in the game right now? But however many people are in the chat right now, if one person can tell me that was an acceptable back check for one of the best goal scorers in the NHL, like that to me is just embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of nerve, you know, to have that back check in that situation.
Well, the record though, the hustle to the blue line was good. It was the coast from the blue line to the net, which was bad.
That's the part I just never quite understand is I guess it's a wiring thing. It's just how you're wired. You're not wired, you know, defensively to think defensively first. But, you know, what do you think you're going to get benefit on the benefit from not skating all the way back? Like, there's no opportunity to cheat there and then have a scoring chance at the other end. Like, that's the part that I don't quite understand.
The only thing I
can
think of is that maybe he thought maybe there was someone behind him. I mean, I'm just saying.
Look, and it's obvious and it's glaring and it's what we have to talk about. And you know, it was similar to the Dubois one right before he was traded to Winnipeg last year and the Scheifele one from earlier this season already. You know, bad back checks get noticed because they get, you know, everybody, you know, can freeze frame and put it on Twitter very, mm-hmm. very quickly. Yeah. But, you know, Kyle Connor, there really is no excuse for a back check that poor. You know, especially when your team is struggling to get anything going offensively. And that first goal, you know, you could just see them sag as soon as they gave up that first goal because it almost seemed like they didn't believe they could get one past Merzlikins. I mean, obviously they know that they could, but it just seemed like the whole team, they're so fragile as it pertains to offense right now that you can't give up that first goal on a bad back check as being, you know, one of the primary causes.
Yeah. I, you know, again, I like Kyle Connor as a player. Like I'm not, you know, coming down on him as a person or a player. I just think in that situation, and Dave is right. Like, you know, I just watched the replay again, Dave, and like, he's hustling when he's at his own blue line. And then he just kind of lets him go. And the thing is, like, again, you know, we're spending several minutes here on the back check, but it was a crucial part of the game. I agree with Drew. Like, you knew this wasn't going to be, you just knew early in the game, you know, it wasn't going to be a high scoring game. I mean, you just knew that it was not going to be, 7-4 the Blue Jackets won the other night or the Avalanche. What was the score in that game or Buffalo? Sorry. Seven, it wasn't going to be a 7-6 game like the other night. So in that situation, yes, Schmidt is back there but Dubois is chasing down Domi. Right? So it's Connor's job. He's there. He just lets Hoffman go. So Connor had the ability to break up. Like, he could have lifted his stick, whatever, slid, dove. Like, that's the point. It wasn't like, you know, Connor was out of the play or he wasn't going to catch up. If he puts in even 25% more of an effort, and Connor's one of the fastest guys in the league. So that's what it is here. It's that was a preventable goal. And again, you know, Connor's had a great year. You know, he's going to be on Team USA at the Olympics, but you just can't hide from that. Like, everyone saw that.
Well, I mean, you're exactly right, and he's going to have to own it, and I have no question that Kyle Connor will own that, and he'll be the first to admit that it wasn't good enough, and it's, you know, it's just the way he is as a player, is oftentimes the back check leaves something to be desired. Fine, I get that. He gives enough on the offensive side of things that I don't want Kyle Connor being turned into a Selke Award winner. It's just not going to be how he is as a player. But the Jets need more.
Hold on. Can I just say one thing, though, Drew? I agree with you. I know the point that you're trying to make, but I don't think anybody, no Jets fans and Paul Maurice or the coaching staff, nobody's looking for him, you know, to turn into, you know, a Sean Couturier or a Patrice Bergeron. It's just, it's mind-boggling why, kind of like, you know, that we talked about the Scheifele coverage in which he was there. And then, you know, he doesn't follow through. He doesn't stay with his man. Like that's, I think, what the issue here is. It's just like, you know, when the game's tied and you've lost three games in a row, what is the excuse for that? I just don't think there isn't an excuse for that.
No, there isn't. I mean, the truth is, when you've lost that many games in a row and you're struggling and everything else, you have to play, pardon the pun, Dave, with your head on fire. You have to play like every shift and every second of the game is, you're desperate. That's how you get out of a funk,
yes,
is by playing desperate hockey. And the Jets didn't do that tonight. They're not yet at the point where I guess they think that they're desperate and that they need to play with a sense of desperation to their game. That's where they're not yet at that point. We'll see if on Friday they play with more desperation in their game and they play with more simplicity in their game, Dave, to get back to the Jets team that we saw against the Oilers, you know, not that long ago, where they certainly looked like they were a better hockey team than they've been reflecting as of late.
These guys have to play like a cornered rat on Friday, because there's, you know, the truth is there's no excuses for it, right? This is a healthy team. With the exception of Paul Stastny, they're healthy, right? If they're playing, they're healthy. I mean, I know that they're, you know, we hear about hockey players playing through things, but if you shouldn't be playing, then don't play and call someone else up who is healthy and you know, heal properly, as opposed to playing at a limited percentage. Because if you are healthy, which right now we have no reason to believe that team isn't, other than the usual, you know, bumps and bruises you're dealing with throughout the course of a season, then there are very little excuses. There are very little, a few excuses right now that anyone's going to accept that for the reason that you're playing the way you are, because like, you're just too talented a team. I know people are saying, oh, well, this is who the Jets are revealing who they are. But, you know, I mean, guys, let's remember with the exception of the upper echelon. No, but I'm saying with the exception of the upper echelon, which we never said the Jets were, you know, the Jets have an improved defense. Connor Hellebuyck, as he said, and he's not wrong, Connor Hellebuyck was the best player on the ice. I mean, he was, he was exceptional. And it's ironic
since he came back.
No, I know. And it's ironic, though, that I said that, you know, your goaltender has to be your best player on the penalty kill. And then he had to also be the best player on the power play, because the Blue Jackets had opportunities on the Jets power play. And that, to me, is kind of symbolic of what this team is, right? Right now, at least. When you're giving up good chances on your power play the way they are, you know, the Columbus is coming in on them and it's like a 3-on-1 on their power play. I mean, there's no excuse for it. And you're not making them pay for it. So Connor Hellebuyck was exceptional tonight. I know I saw some comments that Pierre-Luc Dubois wasn't good. I thought he was good. You know, and I thought Jansen Harkins was good. I mean, I'm saying good in the sense relative term, right? I'm not saying they were exceptional. I'm saying they're good relative to all the other guys who weren't good tonight. Svechnikov, actually, that was good as well. I mean, but the rest of the guys seemed like they were just passengers. Watching a game the way everybody else in the chat and us were watching the game. So to me, that's the problem. And you know what? There seemed to be a lack of fight, a lack of, like, I know we saw some like fighting in a literal sense, and maybe that, you know, could have galvanized this team a little bit. You know, like, you see a guy dummying Evgeny Svechnikov on the ice, and
that was stupid. I'm sorry.
Well, it wasn't, but you know what? It was stupid in the sense that Domi was dumb for doing it, because it gave the Jets an opportunity, but
make him pay for it.
That's right. Where are the Jets in the sense? But again,
oh, absolutely, Dave. I agree. Like, you know, make them pay physically, but also make them pay by tying the game up.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and that's when that's why the power play like is just as big of a concern as the 100%. Penalty kill for me, yeah. Right? Like we talked about it. Scotty Billick put that stat up there, you know, 1 for 21 or whatever it is, 1 for 22. No, I might be wrong by one. The point is, you know, they haven't scored a lot of power play goals in the last, you know, 2.5 or 3 weeks. So yeah, I think there is a little bit of a lack of energy. And as you mentioned, Dave, like, yeah, you're missing Stastny here, but I mean, there are teams in the NHL that are missing yes. many more players than just one or two. Like
this, Paul Stastny's a third line player on this team. Well,
exactly. I mean, and the thing is, like you have enough talent in this lineup that you should be able to beat most teams on any given night. And I think, you know, back to what Drew was saying, you know, the losing streak obviously started, you know, losing in the shootout to Edmonton. But we talked about it, the response in the second game of that back-to-back, like the game in Vancouver, they were right, as Paul Maurice likes to say, right? Like that was a good performance. But the Pittsburgh game, that was not good. And tonight's game, it wasn't, you know, the worst performance of the year. I mean, I think we've seen some worse performances than that, right? Like you think about the LA game not too long ago. That wasn't a very good performance. They ended up still winning the game. But I mean, the Jets need to figure this out, and they're going to have to figure it out quickly. Again, it's kind of a cliche here, guys, but you don't want this to turn into a 5 or 6 game losing streak, because you know then you're starting to get yourself out of the playoff picture. And again, you know, we have to take a step back and take a breath. The sky isn't falling. It's only, you know, the end of November here. There's lots of hockey to be played. It's only 19 games in. But we've talked often about how, you know, good teams don't lose 5, 6 games in a row. Those can really, you know, derail your season quickly.
Yeah, good teams don't lose more than go with more than 3 games without earning a point. And guess what? With tonight's defeat, the Winnipeg Jets have now gone 3 games without earning a point. So that needs to turn around for the team on Friday in Minnesota in St. Paul, the Black Friday game, 2:30 p.m. puck drop. Post game on Friday, we'll be back here right around, let's say, 5:15, maybe 5:20. It'll be a very weird post game show time, but we will of course still bring you the Illegal Curve post game show, and then Saturday morning we're going to bring you the Illegal Curve hockey show, and then Saturday night we're going to bring you again the Illegal Curve post game show. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have more on tonight's defeat, the Jets' defeat at the hands of the Blue Jackets. We'll talk more about Friday's game in Minnesota and how the Jets can get back on track, and who, you know, individually, which players need to step up and do more to get the Jets out of the rut that they're currently in.
Spoiler alert, all.
There you go. Thanks, Dave. Good spoiler alert. Dave Manuka's in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg's in the bottom middle. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Stick with us. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, why are you so happy?
I just crushed 2 fresh Bagelsmith bagels with Schmear. They're open on Jets home game nights until puck drop.
Didn't you have Bagelsmith for lunch too?
Yes, I did. What's your point?
Come on, Bagel Boy. Let's go to the game.
Bagelsmith is Winnipeg's first and only Montreal-style bagel shop located at 185 Carlton Street. Visit bagelsmith.ca.
He wants up. Oh! Looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax.
Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave, and thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Whether it's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two, this holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
9:20 in the evening. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Dave Minuk is wearing the white toque. Ezra Ginsberg's wearing the black toque. I'm not wearing any toque whatsoever. We'll give away some prizes in this part of the show. We'll talk again about what we saw tonight in the Jets' defeat to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Dave is just leaving. I'm not sure what. Oh, Dave has got the picture of us framed. I see that.
Correct.
That's nice. I like that, Dave. Look
is
at
that
you.
The original, Dave?
Oh, it's the original. Brad
sent it to you?
No, he came to the office today, and he dropped it off, and it was framed. And
Wait a minute. That's awesome. You didn't even do that? Brad did that for you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the whole point. Brad is it, and we had a nice conversation, and a big fan. He listens to us. He's been listening to us on from the 1290 days. He used to listen to us Saturday mornings. Brad's this pretty cool... It's a pretty cool story, actually. He's a Winnipeg-based artist who does a lot of Marvel and DC comic covers. And
he is. If you, I don't know. Maybe Dave, you can find his Twitter handle. I'm not. It's Brad Anderson. There might be a number in there, but yeah. He is so talented. Like, he is next level.
Yeah, and so when Ezzy had mentioned on Saturday's show about doing drawing a caricature of us. He actually did it, and he said he was explaining to me today the story about it. And so I gave him an Illegal Curve shirt, of course, because you know that's a pretty nice thing of him to do. And so he got an Illegal Curve shirt from us for doing this, and it was pretty awesome. And so we met up today, and he was telling me how he's listened to our show for throughout the years, and he enjoyed listening to us Saturday mornings on the radio, and now in this current form, and he'll download the podcast sometimes and listen that way or listen live. But we appreciated the support, and it was pretty cool to see someone who's, like I said, so well respected in his field do that for us. And just so, I don't know if anybody noticed, because I posted this on our social media when he sent it to me on Saturday, he actually added something from the picture. There's an IC logo now in the bottom left corner.
That. Yeah.
So there's now the IC logo in the photo as well. So, I mean, I know everybody's upset about the Jets, but hey, there's some good things to focus on. Like,
humanity in the world.
Yeah. So, Drew, do we have to start calling Dave Warhol? Like, is that what we have to do now because he's got that framed art behind him?
That must be. We'll get right on that.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure there's people clamoring down our doors. But I mean, Brad is talented, so maybe that'll be worth something. He's actually offered to paint Ezzy nude now.
Priceless. I was going to say, if anybody wants to paint Ezzy on a bearskin rug, that's just let us know. You can you can just email us bearskinrug@illegalcurve.com. But God help you if you do decide to do that.
It was awesome. We appreciate Brad doing that. That's just so cool.
Definitely a very nice gesture by Brad to make that caricature, make that painting of all of us. You know, who is the one player, as we look forward to Friday's game in St. Paul against the division rival Minnesota Wild, who last I saw tonight they were winning. I haven't looked. I'll check the out-of-town scoreboard. Who's the one player from your guys' perspective that needs to step up on Friday to get the Jets out of this rut?
I don't think it's just one.
Okay, but if you had to pick one who can be the catalyst... If you can pick, I mean, I know there's obviously, there's no shortage of blame to go around.
No, but I mean, it's an easy answer. It's Mark Scheifele. I mean, Mark Scheifele is your number one center. Mark Scheifele wants to be considered for Team Canada. He ain't going to be considered for Team Canada with his current performance.
No, and he's not your number off Team Canada.
And he's not your number one center with his current performance. So if the Jets are going to get going again, it has to be Mark Scheifele. I mean, it's look, there's a lot of guys who are coasting right now, like Kyle Connor on a back check. There's no question about it. But the reality is that Kyle Connor and Pierre-Luc Dubois have driven you the entire season for the most part. So you're giving them, again, you can criticize individual plays, but overall, the totality of their seasons have suggested that they've done more than their fair share. Nikolaj Ehlers, you want a lot out of him. I mean, you want a lot out of a lot of these guys. But number one is Mark Scheifele because he's your number one setter. Blake Wheeler has to be better, or Blake Wheeler has to play less, or maybe both. Probably both. You probably get one if you do the other. Mm-hmm. But to me, there's no question about it. The defense has been fine. Connor Hellebuyck has been exceptional. Your role players have been your role players and have all been relatively decent. So it's Mark Scheifele. It's Mark Scheifele show. If Mark Scheifele is better, then your team is going to be winning. If Mark Scheifele continues to play the way he is, then you're probably going to have more of these results.
Yeah, it's got to be a team effort. Hockey's a team game. We all know that, even though if you have, you know, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, I mean, individual players can change the outcome of a game. But, you know, yeah, Mark Scheifele was the first person that came to mind, Drew, if we're picking one player for sure. Like, you know, Scheifele wasn't bad tonight, but he's got it. He's got to be scoring goals. He's got to be setting up plays, like, especially when the puck's not going in for Kyle Connor, when the puck's not going in for Nikolaj Ehlers. Like, Connor and Ehlers each had 5 shots, guys. Like, it's not like they, you know, and, you know, they weren't all obviously high danger, you know, chances, but, you know, Scheifele, he just he has to be better. And we know he can be better. And, you know, forget the Olympics for a second here, guys. Like, this Jets team needs to stop the bleeding. Like, this is a situation where, you know, you can't let this get too out of hand. And I think you have to be a little bit worried. Like, I think this is the type of back-to-back situation where it can be season defining. I really do, you know, think it has that possibility. And, you know, Drew mentioned Black Friday, you know, it's going to be an early start. And then, you know, you got to go into Calgary. So, like, I mean, you're not, it's the travel, it's not ideal, but I think it's one of those kind of, you know, unusual type of road trips, in the sense that, you know, you're kind of going from here to there. It's not like, you know, all these games are one geographic area, but more importantly, like, you got to get the offense going, and you got to pick up some points here. I mean, we know what Calgary's doing. We know Minnesota is, you know, at the top, near the top of the Central, or at the top of the Central.
They won in a shootout tonight against New Jersey.
So they're in first now, right?
They are in first because St. Louis lost to Detroit tonight.
There you go. So I mean, it's you know, and I think, I really do think, guys, that, you know, Winnipeg, St. Louis, Minnesota, Colorado's quietly won 5 games in a row after a pretty mediocre start. Like, I think all these teams are going to be right there. So I don't think the Wild are going to run away with it. That's not what I'm saying here. But I mean, it's a good team. They're very dangerous. And so is Calgary. Like, they're playing with a lot of confidence as well. So, you know, I think there are things to be concerned about. But yeah, I mean, if you're talking about individual players, Drew, you know, Scheifele has been the Jets' best forward for what, 5 or 6 years now. So, I mean, I would expect a very strong performance from Scheifele on Friday. But there are other guys that need to step up as well, because, I mean, right now you've got just it's too passive of a style of game. And I know a lot of people in the chat are talking about, you know, systems and everything like that. Like, yeah, would you like to see kind of more kind of north-south straight line hockey as opposed to kind of what you've been seeing, where it just seems like things are being forced and there's just not a lot of second chances, not a lot of traffic. That's why oftentimes, Drew mentioned it, you'll hear hockey coaches talk about, you know, simplicity, and that's when you just kind of get the puck back to the point, get some traffic on the net. You know, we've seen Pierre-Luc Dubois tipping pucks, like, get something going down low, get the cycle going. Like, Lowry, Harkin, Svechnikov, they have that ability. We've seen that this season. So there just has to be, again, it's a huge cliche, but there has to be way more consistency in your game. Lately, we've just been seeing one good period here, one bad period here. There just hasn't really been, you know, a full game that you've liked, I would say, since the Vancouver game.
Well, 5 bad periods, I would say, in a row for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, you know, the first period against Pittsburgh, I don't think anybody had a problem with it on Monday night.
No.
You know, I think that was a fine period, but the Jets certainly have been struggling. Whatever happened at the end of that first period on Monday night, this Jets team hasn't been, you know, very good or even average since then. And you talk about more north-south, as in the team needs, you know, more straight-line hockey. Well, when this team is at their best, they are playing a straight-line hockey game into the opponent's zone, and that's when, you know, we saw them cycling. That's when we saw some plays where they're able to get some guys open in the slot for some high danger chances. I mean, that's, you know, this Jets team, it starts with their transition, and it starts with getting the puck out of their own zone. And we know that they're a way better team at doing so this year than they have been the last couple of years, and I don't think that's all of a sudden going to fall off the cliff for the remainder of the season. But when those passes are in the skates, and when those passes are not on the stick, and they're not being handled well, then that's when you're just always sort of climbing uphill. You're pushing a boulder uphill constantly. I go back to Monday's game against the Penguins. Kyle Connor, you know, has got this breakaway opportunity, and you know, he could just never get that puck to settle down. And this is Kyle Connor, a guy, you know, you put him in on a breakaway opportunity for a team that needs a goal. Well, you really, there's no better player you want out there. But on Monday night, the puck sort of bobbled on him, and it was a relatively harmless opportunity. Tonight, same thing. They're just, that puck is not cooperating. And that happens in the course of the year, but it's incumbent on the Jets to overcome their stone hands that they're currently experiencing, and doing the simple things and adding that simplicity and putting a puck on net and then having five guys just go and crash there as hard as possible to get, have it bounce off three guys and in, you know, by getting that traffic in front. I think for the entirety of the game tonight, what do they see? I mean, the Jets had six high danger chances at 5-on-5 for the entirety of the game tonight. That's mm-hmm. not enough. That's just not enough. And I know Columbus only had six as well at 5-on-5. But guess what? Columbus scored a
low event goal. Hockey, I think, is what you're trying to say, Drew.
Low event hockey, except for the fact that the Jets and their special teams continue to put themselves behind the eight ball. When you give up a power play goal again, and you can't score a power play goal for your life depending on it, you know, something's got to give with this team. I mean, I think that it's time, especially if Paul Stastny's back in the lineup on Friday, and it sounded like it was a definite possibility. Mm-hmm. I want to see that sort of a rethinking of the lines. I don't think it's as simple as just plugging in Paul Stastny into your bottom six, taking somebody out, and then saying, okay, my job here is done. There needs to be a bit of a rethinking of everything that's going on.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point, Drew. And at this point, really nothing should be off the table. And people are wondering when we're going to beep, 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 back up the Gus bus and, you know, pick up, you know, David Gustafson from the AHL. Again, I don't see it happening. I really don't. I mean, mm-hmm. when I was asked by it previously, I said I thought it would take an injury in order to get him up, right? Because yeah,
you said that I just on don't, Saturday.
You know, and so, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, who knows? But, I mean, it's easier said than done, especially with the cap situation the way it is for the Winnipeg Jets, that they don't have the room or the luxury to be able to make that without sending someone down. Obviously, in an easy way, you could send down Christian Vesalainen, and you're not playing him. So, I mean, you're not really going to hurt him other than
5:55 time on ice.
Yeah. Tonight. I mean, it's like he's not playing. And it was funny because what did he play the last game? 4:30?
Yeah.
So,
and
I mean,
it's not like, you know, and again, this is part of the frustration and part of the questioning that I have is that in the very limited times that we've seen Christian Vesalainen,
yeah,
he's been noticeable for the right reasons.
Well, I mean, look, and the reality is this, like people are getting on Nash for that penalty. Guys, I don't even know what the fuck a penalty is in the NHL, to be honest with you anymore. Like it's, and again, I'm going to go with another swear. I don't give a shit what happens in these games, but like, you kind of want to see some consistency. And it's like, that was the most
high sticks that were missing.
I mean, people are getting on Josh Morrissey for that first goal against, but the reality is Max Domi clipped him in the face mm-hmm. when he pulled his stick over Morrissey to go on the attack. So
what about the slash after the empty netter, Dave?
Morrissey slash.
That was a pretty good one.
That was a penalty, though. He got called for a penalty on that one. So
Logan Stanley, you know, that high stick on Hoffman got missed in the course of the game.
Yeah, no.
It was on both sides.
Oh, no. Of course. Of course. But I'm just saying, like, especially in a tight game. Like,
the refs know what high sticking is sometimes. Like honestly, like, if, you know, 18,000 people or however many people were at Nationwide Arena could see it. And obviously it was on the replay.
Yeah.
But it seems like maybe I'm wrong here. I mean, the cop high sticking penalty from last game was,
which wasn't even cop. I think it was one of the Penguins guys who clipped his own guys. So I mean,
that should be reviewed, Dave. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, and anyway, so, but the point is that it was just like, it was bizarre refereeing once again. And like I said, the decision on the linesman to hold Svechnikov while Domi is pummeling him doesn't make any sense. I mean, Domi's going to pummel Svechnikov anyways, but at least let him have his hands free as opposed to holding him back. And then the linesman was like almost laughing about it. It's kind of a bizarre situation. So, but again, I'm not blaming everyone in the chat, not blaming this on the ref. I'm not blaming the Jets' loss on the refereeing. I'm just saying it definitely didn't help anything, but
the Jets had four power play opportunities.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, which just didn't, but like I said, it was bizarre kind of throughout the course of the game. But you know, I think what it comes down to, Drew, is when you talk about what are you going to do better on Friday, right? Because obviously what they're going to do is they're going to take out Nash, maybe. I mean, Harkins looks like he's done enough to stay. Maybe probably Vesalainen. What am I talking about? They're going to take Vesalainen out.
Yeah.
So you pull Vesalainen because he's only playing 4 or 5 minutes a game. You keep Wheeler on that third line. Well, I mean, this is what we would do, not necessarily what Paul Maurice is going to do. Mm-hmm. But he's got to do something because right now, you know, he tried Dubois up with Connor and Ehlers at one point in the second period to try and get those guys going, see if they could get some speed generated and, you know, create some opportunities. But Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele, that sort of old magic, well, that magic isn't
just
there
old.
Right now.
It's just old.
It's not magical.
Well, it's just old. And Dave, I was going to add to that. Like, you know, we talked about this on the Saturday morning show. Like, based on, you know, the way this week has gone so far, we'll see what happens, you know, Friday and Saturday. But, like, is anybody going to be surprised if the Gus bus is called up? Like, I think, you know, I thought it might be 2 or 3 weeks. But, like, I think that's coming. And, I you know, maybe Ville Heinola also get like.
No. That's not their MO. I mean, it's just not their MO to do anything like that.
Not only that.
It should be their MO, though, Drew.
And, although, I mean, look, it's two things.
Let's reward some guys who are playing well in the American Hockey League. And, you know, if you've lost 4 games in a row, like, why aren't you at least considering it?
Because it's not their MO and they have salary cap issues. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. I mean, you're going to take, you know, if you're taking Vesalainen out of the lineup for Friday, I mean, and we think that that's the most likely candidate.
Well, he's the number one forward to be called up.
Well, of course, he's the number one forward to be called up. But you're taking, I mean, you're not going to make, I mean, we talked about this on Saturday. I don't think that the Jets all of a sudden are going to make 2 lineup changes in time for Friday's game. I mean, I don't think that you're going to see Stastny.
No, I wasn't suggesting Drew on the road trip. I was suggesting after the road trip. That's what I was saying.
Well, I mean, that would be, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I would be fine with seeing some churn at the bottom of the roster, namely, you know, Riley Nash, because I'm really not certain what he's done to that he permanently gets a spot in this lineup, and there's no reason why Gustafson shouldn't get that opportunity, but that would be very much out of character for what we've seen from Paul Maurice over the last decade or so. So,
well, I agree with you, but like I'm just bringing this up for, you know, the show here. Like, I just think, you know, we talked about it. I mentioned the conversation we had on Saturday, and I think we all agreed that, you know, Gustafson's ready for the NHL. Dave has been, you know, singing the praises of Gustafson more than anybody, period. Mm-hmm. But I just think based on the way, you know, these last few games have gone here, the Pittsburgh game was, you mentioned it. I mean, the last two periods were really bad. The first period was okay, but this game was, it seems to me like this team needs an infusion of new blood. And I think Gustafson deserves to be rewarded. So again, I mean, I'm just, I'm just one third of a legal curve here, guys. I obviously don't call the shots. Paul Maurice and Chevy have the master plan, but I mean, to me, I just think, you know, the time is now to call some guys up and, you know, just let's see a different look. Like, let's just add something different. The team seems stale to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like stale bread.
No, I Ezzy, you're 100% right. And I think that's what would, you know, you get an infusion. A guy like David Gustafson, he doesn't make mistakes. He really doesn't. Now, look, the AHL is not the NHL, and we know that. And you're going to have to play a different level to get into the NHL roster. But we've seen guys, there's it's very limited what David Gustafson can learn still at the AHL level. But he's doing everything he needs to, whether it's penalty kill. I mean, we saw him. He was a key contributor to one of the Moose shorthanded goals. It wasn't for him. Like, really, you're not going to – they didn't have that goal that Christian Reichel eventually buries. But, I mean, he really is the guy who can contribute a little bit more of offense. I mean, he did score that goal against the Sharks. Remember when he went around Erik Karlsson, which for him obviously was pretty cool, going scoring against his countrymen. But, I mean, at this point, from the Jets' perspective, and I think, as he's right, I think what will be the determining factor most likely is what happens with the Jets on Friday and what happens with the Jets on Saturday. Because as the folks in the chat have been suggesting, and they're not wrong, you're in for two hell of a game. You know what I mean? Like you've got the Wild, who are the top team in the Central right now, mm-hmm. and are, you know, riding. And then you got to face Jacob Markstrom and the Calgary Flames.
Mr. Shutout. That's not a solution to solving your goal scoring problems.
Who happen to be the best team in the Western Conference. And I don't know many people who would have thought that, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, preseason, I think Calgary was seen as a team that was marginal at best. And that goes to show you how much expert picks are worth, ours included. So
where are they in the power rankings?
Yes. Well, I don't know. But anyways, the point is that these two games, you know, the Jets are going to have to figure something out. I mean, it's not on us. We don't get paid by the Jets to figure this stuff out. It's on Paul Maurice and his coaching staff. Because at the end of the day, like, they have to do it. It's, you know, the players are the ones who have to orchestrate this and execute, sorry. But Paul Maurice and his coaching staff, it's on them to figure this out. And if they keep doing the same thing over and over again and trotting out the same lineup, it worked for a while. It's not working right now. You got to change it, because you can't just keep hoping, especially against better competition. I mean, maybe he's thinking they'll, quote, rise to the occasion. But again, we're going to find out what kind of team they got on Friday and whether Paul Stastny really was the difference in this team.
Ezzy, you have bagels to give away. People need to eat their emotions right now.
Yes.
Who are getting some bagels from our friends at Bagelsmith?
Yeah, shout out to Jason Eastwood. He sent me an email today. He went by Bagelsmith and picked up his half dozen bagels. We're going to give it to Leighton Janice. Leighton, we see her oft. I'm not sure if it's a she or a he, but I'm pretty sure it's a she, because I know another a youngster with the name Leighton. So I believe it's a female, but we're going to give it to Leighton Janice. Well, Janice is obviously a female name, but I'm not sure if that's a first name or a last name, but Leighton's had some good comments. She's been here for the majority of it. So we're going to give her half a dozen bagels from Bagelsmith. So just head down anytime and I'll send them your name. And
that's your real name. If that's not your real name, send Ezzy email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or you can slide into his DMs on Twitter and give him your real name as opposed to your YouTube username, and that way you'll get your bagels from our friends.
Leighton is a guy. There we go. There's Leighton. Yeah, so Leighton's a guy. So I do know a young girl who's named Leighton, so I guess Leighton can also be a boy's name. Sorry about that, Leighton. You can give me a hard time, but just email
maybe
me.
Maybe Leighton deserves a dozen bagels for that mistake, Ezzy.
You know, putting me on the spot there. We'll have to talk to Phil about that. But yeah, sure. Let's do a dozen. Get a dozen bagels, Leighton. But yeah, there we go. So you don't
charge him onto Ezzy's tab.
Yeah, Leighton, you don't have to email me then. That's your real name. But
hold on, wait a second. Is Leighton an imposter, Ezzy? Because look, Rob Mahoney is saying Leighton, his real name is Rob Mahoney.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting confused here. But it's Leighton's okay. The winner, so there you go,
Leighton. Congratulations, you got some bagels.
Yeah, and I guess Drew will do the tough duck hardest hitting comment here. I've got it queued up. It was back at 9:18. I copy and pasted it in the chat. Matt Robichaud, I like this because Dave and I were talking about this off air during the third period. The comment is, like, how do you justify splitting up Dubois, Connor, and Svechnikov? with how fire they were, how on fire they were, and how many points have any of them put up since then? I think the answer is there, or maybe he was trying to say, I think the answer is three. But regardless, I like the idea of getting Svechnikov back on that line. I realize that Paul Stastny might, you know, his impending return might change that a little bit. But anyways, I like that. So Matt, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and we will send you a Tough Duck toque. There's the comment.
I scrolled all the way back. There's a lot of comments.
It was half an hour ago. So.
Exactly. Well, it's been a very active chat room tonight, so we do appreciate all the interaction from everybody that joined us for the Illegal Curve post-game show. Hold on, Drew.
Momento, por favor.
Okay, sorry. No, you're not doing it unless you wear the anthers.
I'm not doing a Moose Minute.
Put the anthers on anyways.
I only do that during the Moose Minute, Drew.
Okay.
But I do have four very sweet tickets to see the Manitoba Moose take on the Texas Stars on Saturday, 2 p.m. start time, section 118. So like dead center. I think it's row three. Hold on. Let me just verify. Row three, section 118. So you are going to be like dead center watching Cole Perfetti, David Gustafson, 17,000 Jets draft picks on D, and, you know, either Arvid Holm or Mikael Burden. So lots of exciting stuff going on with the Manitoba Moose, who took 2 of 3 from the Milwaukee Admirals last series, and they're going to close it out against the Texas Stars this weekend. So I've got four tickets, and I'm trying to decide, should we go 2 and 2? Should we give away 4 at 1?
So just email dave@illegalcurve.com with your best portrait offer of Illegal Curve. It's got to be portrait. It's got to be done in pencil. It's going to go to the...
Ezzy, just so you know, Brad, I don't know if you saw it because you were in the middle of a thought, but Brad did chime in and he said, I absolutely refuse to paint nude. That's where he draws the line. So that is a fact. There's no nudes of Ezzy, unfortunately, for the big guy. But we do have these four premium seats. Oh, okay. Well, if Will wants to, then Will, send me an email, dave@illegalcurve.com. I'm going to have to come up with some sort of contest. Because I know that everyone loves the Moose and like loves the Moose chat and stuff like this, the Manuk Moose Minute and Minutes, if you will. But I think we need to come up with some sort of way to just, rather than just arbitrarily, whoever happens to send me an email.
Should we have like a skill testing question or something like that?
Yeah, you know, something along those lines. I mean, just, well, you know what, actually, here, let's make it enticing for us. I do appreciate folks, and we have seen people start to do this, drop some comments. And again, pro or con. Generally pro, but I'm not going to twist your arm, pro. But pro or con, whether you, what you think of the show, give us some thoughts on our iTunes. And you know, those sorts of reviews are helpful for us because, like I said, if there's things that we can do better, that's always good. Although I'd rather you email me that. And if there's things that you
there's definitely things show, we can do better.
But if like there's one things, contest in particular.
Yes. That's also true. Rather than have
these like articulate contests, our thoughts.
Yes. See, look at this. This is all good stuff. This is the goal. Now you guys should really be internalizing that and sending me an email as opposed to, you know, voicing it right now for everyone to hear. But anywho, send me an email, dave@illegalcurve.com. If you want to go to the Moose game, 4 tickets, I can either go 2 and 2 or I can give all 4. And then, hey, you know, maybe I can give away 4 individuals and you guys can all become friends in your friends in the chat. Maybe you'd be friends at the Moose game.
There you go. Well done, Mr. Manuk. You certainly, yes. 4 tickets, email Dave. It sounds like Will is going to email Dave and is already doing so right now.
Let me check my email.
There you go. So Dave, you'll check your email. Ezzy, you'll make sure that the bagel people and the toque people get their contest. And I'll wrap up the show because I can see that there's a couple guys who are getting into a fight on the in the chat. So guys, play nice. It's just hockey.
There's no need for that.
Be friendly. It's okay. Everybody loves each other. There's no need to...
Just mute the other guy if you don't like him.
That's right. If you don't like what somebody's saying, just mute them. I've muted Ezra for years and it's made my life way better, let me tell you. But in any event, we want to thank all of our sponsors for their support of the Illegal Curve hockey show and the Illegal Curve post game show and illegalcurve.com. Our friends, of course, at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Bernstein's Deli, Zapier Group Realty, Linden Market Dental Center, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, Boston Pizza, Bagelsmith, Did I miss anybody? I think I covered them all there. If I missed anybody, well, you know who our sponsors are. Support them because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. We'll be back on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, right around maybe 5:15, 5:20, somewhere around there. I believe it'll be Mr. Manuk and myself doing the post-game show following the Jets and the Wild.
I'll be shopping. I'll be, you know, really deep into the Black Friday sale. So sorry,
you're getting ready for the door crasher events.
My credit card's going to get a serious workout.
Attaboy. You have a credit card? Who gave you credit? They're in for a rude awakening. No Saturday credit. Morning, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show back here on our YouTube channel. And then Saturday night, the Illegal Curve post-game show following the Jets and the Calgary Flames. That'll be a late one, probably around 11:45 p.m., just before the stroke of midnight.
Got the email. Will gave me the email. Now, Will, hold on. But you didn't tell me. Do you want two or do you want four?
He'll put it into the chat.
What kind of email was it? Is Will a Gmail guy or is he a Hotmail guy?
I don't know. Let me just check.
Like Will might be an MTS.net guy.
I'm not going to reveal Will's information, guys, publicly. I will tell Ezzy separately.
There you go. That's that would be a very, inappropriate thing for you to do, to publicly, out somebody with the very unique username that Will does bring to the chat room on a regular basis. Explore Stop Net? It, Mr. Gensburg. Stop it. On that note, we thank everybody for joining us for the Illegal Curve post-game show. We'll be back, as I said, Friday afternoon. Until then, be sure to check out our website, illegalcurve.com. Smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already done so. We appreciate all the support. We appreciate all of you for joining us this evening. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mindell. Until Friday afternoon, we wish you good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.